بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، إن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، شر الأمور محدثاتها، كل محدثة بدعة، كل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد،
سأل الشيخ حفظه الله تعالى شيخ خالد الذفيري. He began with the khutbatul haja. All praise is due to Allah. We seek His aid, His assistance. We seek refuge with Allah. We seek His aid and assistance, and we seek refuge with Allah from the evils of our souls and from our evil actions. And that He bore it, and He mentioned that whomsoever of Allah guides, there is none to misguide; whomsoever of Allah misguides, there is none to guide. I bear witness that there is nothing which has a right to be worshipped except Allah alone, without any partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is His slave and His messenger. To proceed, the best speech is the speech of Allah. The best of guidance and examples is the guidance and example of the messenger Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The worst of all affairs are the newly invented matters. Every newly invented matter is an accursed innovation. Every accursed innovation is in the hellfire.
يسعدني أن ألتقي بكم مجددا، وأسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يجمعنا وإياكم في جنات النعيم.
So, Sheikh mentioned that it gives him pleasure that he is able again to renew his gathering with yourselves, and that he's pleased to be here meeting us, all of us collectively. And he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us the ability and the success to be united in the blessed or in the gardens of bliss of Jannah.
وبداية بعد شكر الله سبحانه وتعالى نشكر القائمين على هذا المسجد وعلى هذه الدورة، ونشكركم جميعا على حضوركم، ونسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يعلمنا ما ينفعنا.
He said, after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thanking Allah, I wish to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward those who have organized this dawra or this event, and thank those brothers who were behind the organization of this event, and likewise to you also, to all of you, for gathering here and for your presence. Na'am.
هذا الكتاب الذي بين أيدينا وهو ثلاثة الأصول وأدلتها من أعظم الكتب التي ألفها شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى.
This book that is before you is from the most tremendous of works that has been authored by the Imam شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب.
وتأليفه لمثل هذه الكتب والتركيز على التوحيد يعطينا دلالات عظيمة.
So the authorship of these types of works and their greatness and that which they contain, then it is an indication of their greatness or their worth.
مع النظر إلى كتبه الأخرى، كتاب التوحيد والقواعد الأربع وكشف الشبهات وغيرها من الكتب في التوحيد.
And likewise, not forgetting, and alongside the rest of the books in the subject matter of Tawheed that revolve around the subject matter of Tawheed and make it the center point of their discussion, from the same author, Shaykh al-Islam, such as Kitab al-Tawheed, and also the four fundamental principles, Al-Qawaid al-Arba', and also Kasf al-Shubahat, the unveiling of the doubts and other than them from the other works of the author.
كل هذا يعطينا دلائل على عدد من الأمور.
Then all of these that they point us to and direct us to an affair from the affairs.
أولا اهتمام السلف في بيان التوحيد.
First of all, the importance that the Salaf gave to the explanation of the subject matter of التوحيد.
وهذا يدل على مكانة التوحيد عند علماء التوحيد.
And that indicates the position of التوحيد with the scholars of التوحيد.
وأن الرجل مهما بلغت منزلته فإنه يحتاج إلى توحيد الله سبحانه وتعالى.
And so long as a person reaches a بلغه
مهما على فقهه.
So long as he reaches a certain level, and so long as he is reaching a certain level of understanding,
فإنه محتاج إلى تعلم التوحيد.
Then he is in need of understanding the subject matter of التوحيد.
وثانيا أن على الداعية إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى ألا يغفل جانب التوحيد في محاضراته ومؤلفاته.
And the second affair is with regard to the caller. That the caller to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he's not negligent of التوحيد and its station and its level.
والأمر الثالث فيه بيان أن على الداعية إلى الله أن ينظر في مجتمعه وما يحتاج إليه، فإن شيخ الإسلام جاء إلى مجتمع يكثر فيه الشرك بالله عز وجل.
نعم. And likewise, there is a clarification here with regard to the caller, that the caller looks at the society around him and what they are in need of. So here, Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala, that he looked at the society around him and he saw that they were indulging in the affairs of shirk. So then he worked to remedy that.
وهذه الرسالة على صغر حجمها فإن أهل العلم يقولون لا يستغني عنها طالب العلم، وينبغي عليه أن يدرسها أكثر من مرة.
نعم. So this treatise, though it is small in size, then the scholars have mentioned that a student of knowledge, that he is not able to do without it, and it is something that he is in need of studying not just once but more than once.
لذلك تجد علماء السنة لهم شروحات كثيرة جدا لهذه الرسالة، وكثرة هذه الشروحات تدل على أهمية هذه الرسالة.
So the ulama, أهل العلم, that what we understand, and when we look at them and what they have done, we see that there are many, many numerous explanations of this work of Usulul Thalatha, many numerous explanations. And having these numerous explanations from the scholars shows us the importance that they gave to this important book and its subject matter.
ومما يدل على أهمية هذه الرسالة أن مؤلفها هو شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب التميمي رحمه الله تعالى، وهو له منزلة جليلة عند أهل العلم، وكل من جاء بعد الشيخ محمد رحمه الله فللشيخ عليه فضل ومنه في بيان التوحيد.
So, from the important affairs is the author himself, that we look towards is the author himself, and he is Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab al-Tamimi. And his station in the sight of the scholars and in the view of the scholars It is great. He has a great manzila or a great level amongst the scholars. And thereafter, those who came after him and studied his works, or that they followed after him, likewise, that they have this great station in terms of their studies or that which they obtained in their knowledge or their greatness.
لذلك ينبغي على أهل التوحيد معرفة فضل شيخ الإسلام ومعرفة مكانته والدعاء له بالرحمة والمغفرة.
نعم. And for this reason, the people of Tawheed, that they know this Sheikh, Sheikh al-Islam, Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, and his greatness, and his excellence, and his virtues, and likewise, that they supplicate for him, and invoke the mercy of Allah for him. نعم.
ولشدة اهتمامه بالتوحيد وبيانه بدأ ولا يزال أهل البدع والأهواء ودعاة الشرك بذمه والطعن فيه، وهذا هو حال دعاة الحق ودعاة السنة، كما قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: وكذلك جعلنا لكل نبي عدوا من المجرمين. ويدخل في هذه الآية الأنبياء وأتباع الأنبياء من علماء السنة.
So he mentioned that this shows that when we look towards the great importance and the extreme and greatness of At-Tawheed and the explanations of At-Tawheed and its explanation, its bayan and its clarification and so on, that when he authored these works in Tawheed, such as the one that is before us, the Ahlul Bid'ah, the people of misguidance and deviation, that they started a campaign of criticism and attack and revilement of the Shaykh. And he said, and this is normal, this is the condition that is to be faced by the opposers, by Ahlul Bid'ah, who make attacks upon the du'at of Haqq, those who call to the truth. And it is this reason that we find that the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherein Allah mentioned, and thus we have made, and thus we have made for every Nabi, or for every Prophet, that we made for him an enemy. And he said, and this ayah, that it includes and it encompasses also the callers to the haqq, the ulama, and those who clarify the truth. This ayah encompasses them. Na'am.
وهذه هي طريقة أهل البدع وأهل الأهواء، كما قال أحد أبناء الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى الشيخ عبد اللطيف بن عبد الرحمن، قال: وعادة أهل البدع إذا أفلسوا من الحجة وضاقت بهم السبل تروحوا بعيب أهل السنة وذمهم ومدح أنفسهم، بمعنى أنهم ليس عندهم دليل ولا حجة إلا سب أهل السنة وذمهم.
So you mentioned, and this is the way of Ahlul Bid'ah, as has been stated by some of the children of Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, like Shaykh Abdul Latif, and likewise Abdul Rahman, and other than them, that when Ahlul Bid'ah find that they are devoid of ilm, and proofs. Then they resort to attacking and reviling and opposing the people of truth. Since they have no dalil, they have no proof and no hujjah, no evidence, so they turn to attacking instead.
كما فعلوا مع نبينا عليه الصلاة والسلام من أهل الكفر حين قالوا عنه ساحر وكاهن، وكذلك ما فعلوا للصالحين ولعلماء أهل السنة من بعده إلى عصرنا هذا، فكانوا يسمون أهل التوحيد ممن جاء بعد الشيخ يسمونهم الوهابية، محاولة لصرف الناس عن الحق. وهكذا في عصرنا أهل البدع والتكفير يسمون أهل السنة بالجامية أو المدخلية، وكل هذا دلالة على إفلاسهم من الحجة، ودلالة على أن دعوة أهل السنة فضحتهم وكشفت بدعهم وأخطارهم على الأمة الإسلامية.
And this is just as they did with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his time, that they would call him a magician, sahir, or a soothsayer, a kahin. And this is the same as they're doing, that they have been doing, Ahlul Bid'ah, with the Salihin, after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the righteous ones, after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, up until this era and this time of ours. So from those affairs that we know in our time, and after Shaykhul Islam, is that they would refer to the people of Tawheed as Wahhabis. They would say that this is Wahhabiyya, these are the Wahhabis. And this is in order to turn the people away from the truth and to turn them away from a Tawheed. And likewise you find others likewise using labels and revilement towards the people of truth, such as Ahlul Bid'ah and people of Takfir, Ahlul Takfir, from the extremists. That they refer to the people of Haqq, Ahlul Haqq, as Jamiyya or Madkhaliyya. And all of this indicates and proves the fact that they are devoid of knowledge and devoid of evidences and proofs. So therefore they resort to these types of revilement and labeling the people of truth with such labels that indicate and point towards their hatred of the people of truth.
وسنشرع إن شاء الله في قراءة هذا المتن والتعليق عليه بحسب ما يتيسر، فهذا أوان الشروع، أسأل الله الإعانة والتوفيق.
And we shall begin إن شاء الله by reading the matn of the treatise before us and offering some explanation and some annotation to some of the points that have been mentioned therein. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to aid us and to give us success in that regard. قال المؤلف رحمه الله تعالى بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اعلم رحمك الله أنه يجب علينا تعلم أربع مسائل. الأولى العلم، وهو معرفة الله ومعرفة نبيه ومعرفة دين الإسلام بالأدلة.
ترجم.
So the author, he began, in the name of Allah, the most merciful, the bestower of mercy. Know, may Allah have mercy upon you, that it is obligatory upon us to learn four affairs. Firstly, knowledge, and that is to have knowledge of Allah, His Prophet, the religion of Islam, with the proofs.
بدأ رحمه الله تعالى بالبسملة، والبداءة بالبسملة سنة دل عليها القرآن والسنة. أما من القرآن حيث بدأت كل سورة بالبسملة إلا سورة التوبة، وأما من السنة فقد كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يكتب الرسائل للملوك يدعوهم إلى الإسلام فيبدأها ببسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وكما بدأها أيضا بما كتبه في صلح الحديبية.
So he said the author here, he begins with the basmala, beginning with the name of Allah. And to begin with the name of Allah is a sunnah, both from the Quran and from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As for the Quran, then all of the chapters of the Quran, all of the surah of the Quran, they begin with the basmala, with the name of Allah, the most merciful, the bestower of mercy. All of the surah except for Surah At-Tawbah, but the rest of them, they begin with bismillah. As for from the sunnah, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he would write to the kings and the rulers of the various kingdoms, inviting them to Islam and beginning his letters to them with the basmala, in the name of Allah. And likewise, when we look towards the treaty that he made with the mushriks of Quraysh at Hudaybiyah, the treaty begins with them, the covenant with them begins with the basmala, in the name of Allah.
والرحمن الرحيم خلاصة تفسير أهل العلم لهما أن الرحمن يدل على الاسم، والرحيم يدل على الصفة والفعل، فالله عز وجل رحمن، أي رحمته واسعة، ورحيم أي أنه ذو رحمة واصلة إلى العباد، فوقوع الرحمة على العباد هو من اسم الله الرحيم، وسعة رحمته من اسم الله الرحمن.
So as for the two names of Allah, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, then in summary, Ahlul Ilm or the scholars, they have mentioned that as for Ar-Rahman, then that is indicative of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pointing towards the name of Allah and indicative of that. As for Ar-Rahim, then that is descriptive. It is a description or an attribute, and fi'l, an action. So as for Ar-Rahman, then that is indicative of the expansive and vast mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all-encompassing and vast mercy of Allah. As for Ar-Rahim, then that is the mercy that is bestowed by Allah or from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon His chosen servants. نعم.
ثم قال اعلم رحمك الله، وقوله اعلم فيه إشارة إلى أهمية العلم والاجتهاد فيه، وأدلة ذلك كثيرة في كتاب الله وفي سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، فكان أول أمر في هذه الرسالة هو الأمر بالعلم، حين قال أعلم أي أدرك وافهم ما يقال بعد ذلك من الأمور التي سيقررها في هذه الرسالة، فلن ينجو إلا من يتعلم، أفمن يعلم أن ما أنزل إليك من ربك الحق كمن هو أعمى، إنما يتذكر أولو الألباب.
So as for the first word that the author he begins with, اعلم, meaning have knowledge, and this indicates the importance that the author has given to knowledge. And likewise, when we look towards the words of Allah in the Quran, and likewise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Sunnah, likewise we find the same importance being given to knowledge. And i'lam here, the meaning of the intent here is i'lam, meaning understand and comprehend. And included in this, we find from the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shall he then, who knows that which has been revealed unto you, O Muhammad, from your Lord is the truth, is he like, or the one, meaning that the one who knows what has been revealed to you, O Prophet, from your Lord, is the truth, be like him, or is blind, which is only men of understanding that pay heed. Na'am.
وقوله اعلم رحمك الله فيه أن على الداعية إلى الله أن يجتهد في استخدام أفضل الأساليب في الدعوة إلى الله عز وجل والرفق بالمدعو وبذل أسباب هدايته. فإن المتعلم أو الجاهل إذا بدأ بنصحه وتعليمه بالدعاء له فهذا من أسباب انشراح صدره لما يقال بعد ذلك: اعلم رحمك الله، اعلم غفر الله لك، وهكذا.
He mentioned that the author, when he says "I'lam rahimakallah," meaning have knowledge, may Allah have mercy upon you, as he mentioned in the previous point, meaning strive to seek that knowledge. So the author here is making a point with regard to the one who calls to Allah, that he does so with leniency and with gentleness and with kindness, with rifq. So you find that he began, i'lam rahimakallah, meaning have knowledge, may Allah have mercy upon you. So when he mentions that dua, may Allah have mercy upon you, he is desiring and seeking guidance for the one who is reading or for the one who is learning. And this, when he begins with this type of dua, and this type of supplication for the one who is reading or for the one who is learning, then when you make those types of supplications, have knowledge, may Allah have mercy upon you, have knowledge, may Allah forgive you, and so on with this type of wording, then it opens the heart of the listener or the reader to accept that which is going to follow thereafter.
ثم قال أنه يجب علينا تعلم أربع مسائل. وهنا كرر رحمه الله أهمية العلم ووجوب تعلمه. والعلم منه ما يكون تعلمه فرض عين على جميع المسلمين، ومنه ما يكون فرض كفاية، ومما يجب تعلمه من فروض الأعيان هو تعلم التوحيد وأصول الإسلام. نعم.
So he mentioned that the next thing that the author he mentions is the four affairs, and that is that you have knowledge of those four affairs which he mentions. And in this point he mentions and he repeats and emphasizes again the importance of ilm, and learning, ilm, knowledge and the learning of knowledge, learning the importance, the important affairs of ilm. And ilm from knowledge is that which is fard-ain, meaning that it is obligatory upon every single person. And from knowledge is that which is fard-kifaya, that which is obligatory upon a group of the ummah. And by them learning it, the rest of the ummah is free from sin. So one is obligatory upon all, and the other one is obligatory at least upon a few. As for the knowledge of at-tawheed and the foundations of Islam, then that is the knowledge that is fard-ain, obligatory upon every single member of the ummah or mankind.
وقد سئل الإمام أحمد أو قال الإمام أحمد رحمه الله تعالى يجب أن يطلب من العلم ما يقوم به الدين يجب أن يطلب من العلم ما يقوم به الدين قيل له مثل أي شيء أي مثل ماذا قال الذي لا يسعه جهله صلاته وصيامه ونحو ذلك ويدخل في قول الإمام أحمد رحمه الله تعالى أهم الأمور وهو تعلم التوحيد.
So he said that there is a narration that is attributed to Imam Ahmed, that Imam Ahmed, he mentioned that it is obligatory to seek knowledge of that which will establish one's religion. So it was said, such as what? Such as, what are those affairs? He said that which is obligatory for him to know, meaning it is not allowed for him to be ignorant of. Na'am. Such as, for example, the knowledge of the salah and the zakah and so on. So these are affairs that it is obligatory for a person to know. And from those affairs that it is mentioned from him is the knowledge of tawheed.
وكلما ترقى المسلم في درجات العلم كلما ارتفع منزلة عند الله سبحانه وتعالى يرفع الله الذين آمنوا منكم والذين أوتوا العلم درجات.
So every increase that a person makes in the pursuit of knowledge and every increase that he gains in knowledge, then likewise he increases with Allah in rank. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that Allah raises those amongst you who believe and those amongst you who possess knowledge, that Allah raises you in rank. نعم.
لذلك ذم أهل العلم أهل الجهل والتقليد بل أجمع العلماء أن الذي لا يتعلم ويكتفي بالتقليد أنه جاهل كما قال ابن القيم رحمه الله تعالى في النونية إذ أجمع العلماء أن مقلدا للناس كالأعمى هما أخوان والعلم معرفة الهدى بدليله ما ذاك والتقليد مستويان.
He said, for this reason, Ahlul Ilm and the scholars, they criticize jahl and taqleed. They criticize ignorance and blind following. And the ulama agree that the one who studies or the one who follows or establishes his learning upon taqleed, then he is not considered to be a person of ilm or knowledge. And he mentioned the statement of Ibn Qayyim, where Ibn Qayyim mentions An-Nuniyya, that the ulama, that they are agreed and they have consensus that the muqallid, he is blind, he is blind, he's unable to see. And ilm, or ilm, knowledge, it is ma'rifah.
Ma'rifatul al-huda.
And knowledge is ma'rifah, or
بدليله.
نعم, is to know guidance with its evidence.
ما ذاك والتقليد مستويان.
نعم, and that and taqlid are not the same.
ولشيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله كلمات جميلة في أحد رسائله في بيان فضل العلم, حيث يقول رحمه الله: اعلم رحمك الله أن طلب العلم فريضة. اعلم رحمك الله أن طلب العلم فريضة, وأنه شفاء للقلوب المريضة, وأن أهم ما على العبد معرفته معرفة دينه, الذي معرفته والعمل به سبب لدخول الجنة, والجهل به وإضاعته سبب لدخول النار, أعاذنا الله منها. انتهى كلامه رحمه الله تعالى.
And he mentioned that Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, he has some words, some beautiful words mentioning the virtues of ilm. He said i'lam rahimakallah, he said have knowledge or know, may Allah have mercy upon you, that the seeking of knowledge is obligatory. It is obligatory, and it is a cure for the hearts that are afflicted with sickness. And from the most important affairs incumbent upon you is knowledge of your deen, of your religion. And this knowledge, he said, and action upon it is cause for the entry into paradise, whilst being ignorant of it and wasting it away is cause for entry into the hellfire. And we seek refuge with Allah for ourselves and for the Muslims from that.
قال الأولى العلم, وهنا كرر للمرة الثالثة الأمر بالعلم, وهذا يدل على أهميته كذلك.
So he mentions again that when he said al-ula al-ilmu, that the first affair is knowledge. So here Shaykh al-Islam repeats this affair of ilm for the third time, proving its great importance.
ثم فسر هذا العلم بمعرفة الله ومعرفة الدين ومعرفة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, وهذا مشتمل على الدين كله.
So here he explains what he intends by this ilm. So he said it is to have knowledge of Allah, knowledge of his prophet, and the knowledge of Islam with the proofs. And these affairs here, they encompass the whole of religion.
وهذه الثلاث هي الأصول الثلاثة التي سيشرحها لاحقا رحمه الله تعالى, وهي نفس الأسئلة التي يسأل عنها المسلم أو المرء, مسلم أو كافر, في دينه في قبره حين يقال له ما دينك؟ من ربك؟ وما دينك؟ ومن هذا الرجل الذي بعث فيكم؟
نعم. And these three affairs, that these three fundamental principles that he begins with, that he explains in that which is to follow, and which is connected to that which is to follow, these three fundamental questions are questions of the grave, that every person, man and woman, Muslim or non-Muslim, will be asked in their grave. Who is your Lord? What is your religion? And who was that man that was sent amongst you? So this is what these points encompass.
وتعلم هذه الثلاث وقولها والرضا بها من أعظم أسباب دخول الجنة، كما جاء في صحيح مسلم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: من رضي بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيا ورسولا دخل الجنة.
And learning these three and knowing these three and knowing the speech concerning these three affairs is the cause for entry into Jannah, as occurs in a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherein the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whomsoever is pleased with Allah as his Lord and with Islam as his religion and Muhammad as his messenger and prophet will gain entry into Jannah.
وقوله هنا معرفة ليس معناه معرفة القلب فقط، بل ذلك يتضمن المعرفة والانقياد والتسليم، سواء كان في القلب أو على اللسان أو الجوارح. أما المعرفة فقط في القلب دون العمل، ويكتفي بقول لا إله إلا الله دون تحقيق ما تقتضيه من الشروط، فهذا ليس بنافع.
So he mentioned that this ma'rifa that the Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab mentions here at the beginning, when he says ma'rifatu, meaning to have knowledge of, it does not mean knowledge that is just kept in the heart only, or knowledge of the heart alone, or acquaintance of the heart alone. This is not the intent here. Rather, the ma'rifa here, to have knowledge of, or to be acquainted with, and to affirm, then this includes ma'rifa, meaning knowledge itself. It also includes inqiyad, which means to yield, and it also means taslim, to submit. So it is knowledge, and to yield, and to submit. And this is something that is not only in the heart. Rather, it is in the heart, it is upon the tongue, and it is upon the limbs. So ma'rifa, or just having knowledge in the heart without action, or just having speech without its conditions and without fulfillment of its conditions, and inclusive of all of those affairs and those shurut, as the Shaykh mentioned, those conditions, then that type of ma'rifa alone is of no benefit. No.
فقوله معرفة الله يدخل في ذلك تحقيق أنواع التوحيد الثلاث: تحقيق توحيد الربوبية والألوهية والأسماء والصفات.
So this, when he mentions الأولى العلم وهو معرفة الله, that the first affair, then it is ilm, it is knowledge, and that is to have knowledge of Allah. Then this knowledge of Allah, then what enters into that, the knowledge of Allah, is the three categories of Tawheed. The Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, which is the singling out of Allah alone with one's worship, that He is the sole deity worthy of worship. The Tawheed al-Rububiyya, to single out Allah alone with His Lordship. And thirdly, to single out Allah alone with His names and His lofty attributes. So this is what it includes, the knowledge of Allah.
وأما معرفة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فهذا يتضمن تصديقه فيما أخبر وطاعته فيما أمر واجتناب ما نهى عنه وزجر وعبادة الله بما شرع لا بالأهواء والبدع. فهذه المراتب الأربع تتحقق بها شهادة أن محمدا رسول الله.
So as for the statement معرفة النبي, meaning to have knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then this encompasses four affairs. To have tasdeeq, meaning to believe in that which he has informed us of, that which he has brought from Allah, to believe in that, and to obey him in whatever he has commanded, and to avoid whatever he has forbidden, and to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that which he has legislated sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to avoid bid'ah, and not to worship Allah with anything that is innovated. These four affairs actualize one's testification that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These four affairs that we have stated. نعم.
وأما معرفة دين الإسلام فالإسلام في النصوص الشرعية يطلق بمعنى عام وبمعنى خاص. أما بالمعنى العام فالإسلام دين الرسل جميعا, كل ما جاء به الرسل فهو إسلام. فدين إبراهيم إسلام, ودين يعقوب, ودين عيسى وموسى كله إسلام. وهذا ورد في كثير من أقوالهم في كتاب الله سبحانه وتعالى: ربنا وجعلنا مسلمين لك, كما قاله إبراهيم وإسماعيل. وأما المعنى الخاص فهو الدين الذي جاء به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, وهو الذي لا يقبل الله عز وجل دينا بعد بعثته إلا دين الإسلام, أي دينه صلى الله عليه وسلم, كما قال عز وجل: ومن يبتغي غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه، كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: والذي نفسي بيده لا يسمع بي يهودي ولا نصراني ثم لا يؤمن بالذي جئت به إلا دخل النار. وخلاصة معنى الإسلام سيأتي من كلام الشيخ، وهو يتضمن الاستسلام لله بالتوحيد، والانقياد له بالطاعة، والبراءة من الشرك وأهله.
So he said, حفظه الله تعالى, that the author, Shaykh al-Islam, he said, معرفت دين الإسلام, that this is ومعرفت دين الإسلام, referring here to the nusus or the texts of the Sharia. And Islam, its usage, it has a general usage and a usage that is specific. As for the usage of the term Islam in its general sense, then that is the religion of all of the messengers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent. All of them came with Islam. Ibrahim came with Islam. Ya'qub came with Islam. Isa came with Islam. Musa came with Islam. All of them came with Islam. And this is plentiful throughout the Quran, that the prophets, that they came, and the messengers, they came with Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran with regard to Ismail and Ishaq, that they said, make us Muslims unto you. Meaning, make us Muslims. Allah, O Allah, make us Muslims unto you. Then there is a meaning that is specific for the term Islam. And that is the religion, that is the religion that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was specifically sent with. And that which he was sent with sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept after the sending of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam any religion besides that which he, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was sent with. And for this reason Allah mentions in the Quran that whomsoever desires a religion other than Islam, then it will not be accepted from him. And likewise, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein he said, by him in whose hand is the soul of Muhammad, that there is not a Jew or a Christian who hears of me and then does not believe in me, except that he will enter the hellfire. So, this is the two indications of Islam, the Aam and the Khas. He said, and in summary, the summary of the meaning of Islam will come later by the Shaykh himself, rahimahullah. And that is that Islam is istislamu lillahi bittawheed, that it is to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by worshipping him alone, bittawheed, by the worship, singling him out alone with worship. And it is to yield to him with obedience. And it is to free oneself from idolatry and its people. And just before we continue, the brother just passed me a message that there are two cars that are blocking the an entrance to a car park next to the masjid. A white Golf, registration DV61KWG, and a blue Chevrolet, registration BV60UXB. The owner said that these two cars, that they saw women parking them up at that place. So those sisters who own these cars, you need to move those cars. You're blocking someone's entrance. نعم.
وقوله بالأدلة فيه دلالة على أهمية تعلم الأدلة وبناء المعتقد والعمل على الدليل، وهذا ما يميز أهل السنة عن أهل البدع والأهواء، أن أهل السنة ينظرون في الأدلة ولا يعملون إلا بالأدلة من القرآن أو من صحيح السنة أو من الإجماع، ثم بعد ذلك يعتقدون. وأما أهل البدع فإنهم يؤصلون ويعتقدون بدعهم وأهواءهم ثم يبحثون عن بعض النصوص ويحرفونها ليوهموا الناس أنها تسند بدعتهم. فشعار صاحب السنة هو العمل بالدليل.
So the next point or the next the end of that sentence, وَمَعْرِفُ دِينِ الْإِسْلَامِ بِالْأَدِلَّةِ. بِالْأَدِلَّةِ meaning with the proofs. To have knowledge of the religion of Al-Islam with the proofs. This point here shows the importance of knowing the proofs and the evidences that Ahlu Sunnah, that we believe whatever we believe and we act upon that which we act with evidences and proofs. So the proofs are there, and then the proofs that they establish for us our belief and our acts. And this distinguishes Ahlu Sunnah from Ahlul Bid'ah. Because Ahlu Sunnah act upon the proof from the Quran and the Sunnah. So they have the proof from the Quran and the Sunnah, and that establishes for them their beliefs and their actions. As for Ahlul Bid'ah, then they come to a belief and they act. Then they start running around looking for evidences to prove that which they have already come to. So they already believe in a thing and they already act upon an affair. Then they start trawling for evidences and proofs so as to deceive the people in making the people think that that which they are doing has an evidence and proof. Because what they have done is that they have believed and they have acted. Then they distort and falsely interpret the text to fit into that which they have already decided upon. And this is to deceive the people into thinking that they are upon something by way of evidence. So from the signs, the distinguishing signs of Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'a is that Ahlu Sunnah, that their beliefs and their deeds, that they are based upon proofs to begin with, not the other way around. Na'am.
ثم قال في المسألة الثانية العمل به، والمسألة الثانية هي ثمرة المسألة الأولى، أي أن العمل هو ثمرة العلم، بل إن العلم لا يكون نافعاً إلا إذا التحق به العمل، وإلا كان العلم حجة على صاحبه. فالعمل أي العمل بما تقتضيه معرفة الله ومعرفة الإسلام ومعرفة النبي، أي أننا نجتهد في أداء العبادات الخاصة والعبادات المتعدية. العبادات الخاصة مثل الصلاة والصوم، أن يتعبد الله في خاصة نفسه، والعبادات المتعدية لغيره مثل الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر والدعوة إلى الله وغير ذلك. فلا بد من العمل بالعلم.
So then the author رحمه الله تعالى, he mentioned الثانية العمل به, that the second affair is to act upon that knowledge. And when we look at this point, in reality, the second point is the fruit of the first point, because the first point is knowledge. The second point is to act upon that knowledge. So the second point is the fruits of the first point. So actions are the fruit of ilm. Actions are the fruits of knowledge. And ilm is of no benefit unless there is action that accompanies it. And having knowledge of a certain affair, or having knowledge in general, is a proof upon a person against him. Meaning that he has knowledge, has he acted? So it is a proof against him if he doesn't act. So this knowledge is knowledge, for example, he mentions the knowledge of the ibadat and the actions of ibadat. So there are those ibadat that are specific, meaning for a person himself, that he acts upon them for himself. So these are acts of knowledge for himself specifically, such as the salah, the fasting, the performance of hajj, and so on. So they are specific to a person himself. And then there are those acts of worship that are transitive, meaning that it is an act of worship that is not specific for himself only, but it passes on to others, such as, for example, the enjoining of the good. So he enjoins it upon another. So it is an act of ibadah that is transitive, that goes on to another person. So he enjoins with him the good, he forbids from him the evil, and he calls him to the path of Allah, calls him to the worship of Allah and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of da'wah. So the ibadah, whether it is for himself or whether it is transitive, meaning for himself and for others, then all of this is action upon the ilm. So no doubt it is necessary to act upon one's knowledge.
وترك العمل بالعلم فيه مشابهة لليهود, حيث قال سفيان ابن عيينة وغيره: من فسد من علمائنا ففيه شبه من اليهود, ومن فسد من عبادنا ففيه شبه من النصارى. ففيه شبه من اليهود حيث علموا وتركوا العمل بالعلم وجحدوا. وترك العمل بالعلم يختلف حكمه بحسب المتروك, فقد يكون كفرا وقد يكون معصية. ومما يكون ترك العمل به كفر كمعرفة التوحيد, فيترك العمل بالتوحيد ويقع في الشرك. ومثال ما يكون ترك العمل به معصية كالسرقة أو شرب الخمر مع علمه واعتقاده بحرمته، لكنه ترك العمل به، فهذا كبيرة من الكبائر بحسب هذا المتروك. نعم.
So the abandonment of actions, meaning abandoning acting upon what one knows, is something that is not allowed. One is required to act upon what he knows, because abandoning acting upon what you know is actually resemblant of the Yahud, of the Jews. Sufyan ibn Uyayna, rahimahullah ta'ala, and other than him from the Salaf, they used to say that whoever is corrupt from our scholars, then he has resembled the Jews. And whoever is corrupt from our general worshippers, then he has resembled the Christians. And that is because the scholars, or those scholars from those who have knowledge, and they don't act, then that is resemblant of what the Jews do. They reject and they don't act upon that which they abandon the action upon that which they know, and that is, of course, resemblant of the Jews. And the abandonment of actions in general can be kufr, depending on what they have abandoned, or it can be sin. So, for example, the person who abandons action upon tawheed and implementing tawheed, and thus falling into shirk, then his abandonment of action has led him to kufr or unbelief. As for sin, and as for the abandonment of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, disobedience to Allah, then what we are referring to here is, for example, a person who drinks wine or he steals. Then by stealing or drinking wine, of course he hasn't left the fold of Islam, he's still a Muslim, but he has fallen into a kabira min al-kabair, a major sin from the major sins.
والمسألة الثالثة الدعوة إليه، وهذه أيضا ثمرة العلم والعمل، فإن من علم وعمل من لوازم ذلك الدعوة إلى هذا العلم وهذا العمل. والدعوة إلى الله هي وظيفة الرسل وأتباعهم، وكفى بذلك شرفا، وأمر الله عز وجل في كتابه بالدعوة إلى الله بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة، ادعو إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن. وهذه الدعوة لا تكون صحيحة نافعة حتى تكون بما سبق وهو العلم، فإن الدعوة بجهل من أعظم أسباب الضلال والانحراف. لذلك كان من أعظم الفتن في الأمة هم دعاة الجهل الذين يلبسون زي العلماء وهم من العلم والسنة براء، فكانوا من أعظم أسباب ضلال الأمة، كما أخبر عليه الصلاة والسلام أن الله لا يقبض العلم انتزاعا ينتزعه من الصدور أو من صدور الرجال، ولكن يقبض العلم بقبض العلماء. فإذا قبض الله العلماء اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا فأفتوا بغير علم فضلوا وأضلوا، أي يدعون الناس بالجهل بل بالبدع، يستخدمون أساليب القصص من غير تحر في صحتها، فيلبسون على الناس دينهم حتى كانوا سببا في انحراف كثير من الشباب حتى سلكوا طرق الخوارج والتكفير وانضموا لداعش والقاعدة بسبب هؤلاء دعاة الشر. والأئمة الذين يدعون إلى النار الدعوة الصحيحة تكون بعلم، كما قال سبحانه قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة أنا ومن اتبعني، أي على علم. وحتى في أساليب الدعوة يجب أن تكون على ضوء القرآن والسنة، ومما أجازه أهل العلم. فالدعوة توقيفية لا تكون الدعوة بالأناشيد والرقص والكذب لمصلحة الدعوة ونشر الأحاديث موضوعة والضعيفة. لذلك ظلت الجماعات والأحزاب في هذا الباب ضلالا عظيما، منهم من دعا إلى الله بدون علم وتعلم كجماعة التبليغ حتى سلكوا طرق الشرك والخرافة، ومنهم من دعا إلى الله لقصد الوصول إلى الحكم والسياسة كجماعة الإخوان المسلمين وغيرهم. أما أهل السنة فيدعون إلى الله بعلم ويدعون لأجل إعلاء كلمة الله ألا وهي التوحيد.
So our Sheikh, Hafidhullah Ta'ala, he mentioned that the third affair here that the author has mentioned, الثالثة الدعوة إليه. The third affair is to invite others to it. And here, the دعوة إليه, calling to it, is a fruit again. It is a fruit of knowledge and action. That once a person, he knows, he has knowledge, and he acts upon that knowledge, then it is necessary that he calls to it. And that is the role that was appointed to the messengers. This is what they are appointed to do. This is the role of the messengers. And likewise, those who follow the path of the messengers. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, call to the way of your Lord, بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَمَوْعِذَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ. Call to the way of your Lord with wisdom and with fair admonition. And debate with them or argue with them in the manner that is best. So this calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that is established in the Quran. And this da'wah that you call to, this invitation that you make to the people to come to the religion, then it is not sound and it is not correct, except with the first two affairs in place, and that is knowledge and action. Because to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon ignorance is the greatest of the means to misguidance. That a person calls upon jahl, then that call that he makes is in actuality a call to misguidance. It becomes a cause of people being misguided because he's not calling them upon knowledge. And that is further proven by a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not take away knowledge by stripping it from the hearts of the people in one go. Rather, knowledge is taken away by the death of its carriers, the death of the ulama, such that no one from the people of knowledge remains. And then the people take as their leaders the ignorant ones. They go to them, asking them. And when they ask them, they give them fatwa. They give them verdicts, fatawa. Thus, leading themselves astray and leading the people astray. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. So from this you understand how people can go astray. That they call the people to misguidance. They call the people upon jahl, upon ignorance. And they do that by way of telling them stories that aren't true. Such and such an event took place. And these are just qasas or just stories that they invent. That have no authenticity to them. And they deceive the people with these types of fabrications and inventions that they make of events that never took place and stories that are not real. And this type of calling the people upon ignorance, you find this is a method that is used by Ahlul Bid'ah and the people of misguidance to misguide the youth, to lead them astray. So this calling the people with ignorance, devoid of knowledge, has become a reason for the misguidance of many of the youth. And this calling the people with jahl, such as what the Khawarij do, such as Daesh or ISIS and Al-Qaeda and all of these other extremist groups, these callers to misguidance who focus upon the youth and they call them upon ignorance and the youth, they go astray with them. So it is ignorance. And it is a caller who calls who is devoid of knowledge that leads the youth astray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, say to them, O Prophet, هذه سبيلي, this is my path. And I call to it, على بصيرة, that I call to it upon certain knowledge, me and those who are with me. He said, this is the call that Allah has commanded the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with, and that is that a person calls to Allah upon basira, upon sure-sighted knowledge. And likewise the paths and the means that are employed in da'wah The paths and the means and the ways that are employed in calling the people to Allah is also established in the Quran and the Sunnah. It is from the Quran and the Sunnah, the means that you use. And that which is approved and accepted by the scholars. Because the means of da'wah, the wasail of da'wah, are tawqifiyah. Meaning the method that you use in calling the people, not just the call itself, but even the methods that you use to call, that they themselves must be established in text, Quran and Sunnah. So for example, we see the futility and the falsehood of those people who use in their means of calling the people to Islam, that they employ anashid, singing songs, or telling them stories that are untrue, or that they recite to them hadith that are fabricated, inauthentic, outright lies and weak, and they use these methods to call the people to Islam. This is not the way. Rather, the means that you use to call to Islam must be rooted in text. And there are many jama'at and sects that have gone astray, far astray with regard to this affair, that they call the people without knowledge and without teaching and without study. Such as, for example, Jamaat al-Tabligh. Jamaat al-Tabligh calls without knowledge, upon ignorance. And that which they call to, in terms of that which they narrate and that which they recite to the people, it has within it shirk, or that pathways or means that lead to shirk and strange superstitious beliefs. So you can see the danger that when a person calls upon ignorance, how the people can become misguided. So that's one example. Another example is those that come from the direction of hukum and siyasa, that they come from the direction of rulership and politics. And they use that as a means of calling the people. So they use that as the pathway and the means in establishing, in calling the people to Islam. So they use that, the pathway and the wasila of politics and enlightening the people about politics and rulership and so on. And they say, this is the way that you call the people to Islam. And that is the method employed by Al-Ikhwan al-Muslimin, the Muslim Brotherhood of Egypt. He said, as for Ahl, and of course that leads people astray and causes them to be misguided. As for Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'a, then they call mankind and they call the people with knowledge, sure-sighted knowledge upon basira. And their prime objective in calling to Allah is to elevate and make high the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the purpose. To make high Allah, or the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so the people are aware of Allah and the right that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has over the people. And this is, of course, tawheed. This is what you find Ahlus Sunnah. This is the pathway that they utilize, because that is the way of the prophets. Naam, Shaykh.
استوى تراص ساوي الصف الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إن هذا القرآن يهدي للتي هي أقوم ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا كبيرا وأن الذين لا يؤمنون بالآخرة أعتدنا لهم عذابا أليما ويدعو الإنسان بالشر دعاءه بالخير وكان الإنسان عجولا وجعلنا الليل والنهار آيتين فمحونا آية الليل وجعلنا آية النهار مبصرة لتبتغوا فضلا من ربكم ولتعلموا عدد السنين والحساب وكل شيء فصلناه تفصيلا وكل إنسان ألزمناه طائره في عنقه ونخرج له يوم القيامة كتابا يلقاه منشورا اقرأ كتابك كفى بنفسك اليوم عليك حسيبا من اهتدى فإنما يهتدي لنفسه ومن ضل فإنما يضل عليها ولا تزر وازرة وزر أخرى وما كنا معذبين حتى نبعث رسولا وإذا أردنا أن نهلك قرية أمرنا مترفيها ففسقوا فيها فحق عليها القول فدمرناها تدميرا وكم أهلكنا من القرون من بعد نوح وكفى بربك بذنوب عباده خبيرا بصيرا
الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
نريد العاجلة عجلنا له فيها ما نشاء لمن نريد ثم جعلنا له جهنم يصلاها مذموما مدحورا ومن أراد الآخرة وسعى لها سعيها وهو مؤمن فأولئك كان سعيهم مشكورا انظر كيف كلا نمد هؤلاء وهؤلاء من عطاء ربك وما كان عطاء ربك محظورا انظر كيف فضلنا بعضهم على بعض وللآخرة أكبر درجات وأكبر تفضيلا لا تجعل مع الله إلها آخر فتقعد مذموما مخذولا
الله سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر الله